Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, James.
Thank you so much for talking to us this morning. What do you think about Mr. Shelton's quite, I guess, polarising comments regarding a greater Christian influence on politics from the inside?
Yeah, look, this is really interesting, right? I'm finding this fascinating. What we've seen in Australia over the last couple of decades, and the world, right, we're not alone here, is this real shift to the left?
Yeah.
We're all becoming much more socially progressive, you know, much more secular. And that's sort of, you know, we tend to think about this as being a good thing, right? This is what, you know, allows for policies like same-sex marriage. There is, however, you know, a real core of Australia. Like, I tend to think that Australians are pretty conservative sort of by nature, right, just as a society generally. And there is a strong core of Australian voters and Australian citizens who feel like they're getting left behind, right? You know, as society changes and liberalises, you know, a lot of these sort of social issues, there are people who are deeply uncomfortable with this.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the kinds of moral acceptability of that aside, right? You know, I have personal opinions on it. I'm sure, you know, everyone listening does too, right? But it's there, right? There is a base there. So when Lyle Shelton says we need more Christian influence in politics, a lot of us shake our head and, you know, like smack ourselves in the face. But there are plenty of people out there who think that way.
Yeah.
You know, for better or worse.
For sure. Do you believe that Mr. Shelton, that he's looking for ways to press further on his political beliefs by joining Senator Bonanni? You said he was one of the many prominent faces we saw that went against the same-sex marriage vote and debate.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I read this story yesterday and, you know, everyone starts tweeting first thing yesterday, or, you know, Shelton's up to something, and then turns out that Corey Bernardi's going up to Toowoomba, which is where Lyle Shelton's from, and everyone is putting pieces together, right? And I thought, well, this is madness. You know, you just got thumped in the same-sex marriage postal survey. And then I thought, oh, no, you know, about 38%, that's probably not a bad time to kick off. You know, for someone like Shelton and for someone like Bernardi, they might well view this as, you know, momentum sparking kind of, you know, that it wasn't a thumping defeat in the same-sex marriage debate, that it was, you know, actually fairly a fairly reasonable showing, and that they are now trying to tap into that 38% of voters, or 38% of Australian citizens who chose to participate and vote no, that there is a kind of what they would like to call silent majority, but increasingly it's a silent minority, but it's still there, right?
Yeah.
So they would be seeking to leverage off that loss and say, well, we are still a voice for you. Lyle Shelton's probably not a bad person to do that. I mean, he's already very well acquainted and very strongly associated with that kind of conservative social movement. You know, if he wants to join federal Parliament, you know, good luck to him. I couldn't think of anything worse that I would do, but, you know, it's an interesting time for debate. I think what we'll see, though, honestly, James, is that they realise that even though there is a taste, there is an appetite for social conservatism in Australia, they're not going to get a lot of voters to actually shift their vote on election day.
Right, yeah. I mean, there was, as you said, more than a third of Australians in that conservative boat. So do you think Mr. Shelton will benefit from this move, or is he putting himself at risk of being, I guess, taken down from the other conservative movement of Liberal backbenchers and One Nation and the other ones?
Oh, look, you know, I guess it depends on how we define benefit, right? If it raises his national profile, I mean, which it probably will, then and he sees that as a benefit, then that's probably a good thing for him. If he desperately wants a seat in Parliament and only winning a seat in Parliament will count as a win, then he'll probably lose because I don't think there's enough support. If they're going to run in Queensland, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see how this splits the vote on the right between One Nation and then if Corey Bernardi's Conservatives want to have a presence up there, be really interesting to see how that goes. Particularly as Pauline Hanson's party seems to be at that stage in the cycle where they inevitably disintegrate and, you know, sort of go down in flames because they can't seem to stand each other.
Yeah.
So that'll be really interesting to see if they can pick up some of that vote out of the sort of wreckage of Pauline Hanson's One Nation. But again, you're talking about maybe scraps. You know, maybe at best, Lyle Shelton becomes a senator for Queensland, and without a party and without a big support base, you know, of colleagues within the parliament, you can really struggle to make an impact. For every Jackie Lambie, there's about, you know, or even, you know, Ricky Muir, say, there's, you know, 10 Glenn Lazaruses who never actually do anything and don't leave any real mark on the parliament or the Senate.
So do you think that, because we're definitely becoming more of a secular society, do you think that Australian politics has followed that road and distanced itself from religious influence? Or does the religious ideas have a backing in the influence of politics in Australia?
Look, Australian politics really lags behind, and this is true of most sort of organised politics in any democracy. Right. Politics tends to lag behind social change, right? Just because of the nature of the people who get elected, they're always in the more conservative camps, even when they're left-wing parties. If left-wing parties are getting elected, they still tend to be a little bit more conservative in terms of actual policy making. It just takes stuff a while to happen in Parliament. So what we tend to find is that voters are ahead of legislators or of politicians anyway. On this sort of secularisation of Australian society, yeah, this is a perfect example, right? We now have the biggest group in Australian society says that they have no religion, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a majority of all people, but the biggest single group. And then we look at the parliament, and it's still, you know, you don't need a very long memory to think about Kevin Rudd doing sort of photo ops outside the Anglican Church in Canberra every Sunday morning. Turnbull still talks about, you know, being sort of culturally religious, if not, you know, a sort of practicing Catholic. Abbott, of course, you know, was almost became a priest.
A bit more vocal, yeah.
Right? This was, you know, even Julia Gillard, you know, sort of talked up her agnosticism at the start of her prime ministership, and then she just backed off totally and didn't talk about it at all. We still have this expectation that our politicians will be at least, you know, a kind of semi-practicing Anglican.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense because it doesn't represent us as a society, but it's just that lag time that, you know, in 10 years we will look back and think how absurd that we needed our politicians to make a show of being religious. And we're probably halfway on that cycle to not really demanding this or expecting it of our politicians, but we're not quite there yet, I'd say.
Right. Yeah, it definitely seems like it's a bit of a hall pass in terms of becoming a politician. Like, yeah, I'm actually quite religious, slightly religious, get that out of the way, and then now let's jump into politics kind of thing. It seems like that first hurdle they have to get over.
Oh, totally. A hall pass is such a great way of explaining it, that it's I would say, like a ticket to entry, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just you tick that little box and you go, yeah, I'm fine. You don't have to worry about my moral compass because I go to church. And, you know, in a lot of ways, that's not a bad shortcut. You know, that's not a bad hall pass. But, you know, on the other hand, the organised religions in Australia don't have the biggest public, you know, they're not on the moral high ground in a lot of in a lot of respects at the moment. So that will start to really help that unraveling as well, right?
Definitely.
That sort of the lack of a hall pass.
It would definitely eventually catch up, you'd think. But how do you think this will strengthen Corey Bernardi's own Australian Conservatives political party in terms of like influence and conservative politics overall?
So what these kinds of parties, the problems that they always face is spreading out from being just one person. And we see this with Nick Xenophon, we see this with Clive Palmer, we see this with perhaps maybe more with Bob Brown, a success story, right, where he was for a lot of years in Australia, the Greens movement. But he really successfully turned his own personal brand and his personal profile into a party and a social movement. Now, you know, Clive Palmer, Nick Xenophon, those guys have struggled. Jackie Lambie is giving it a red-hot go, but she'll struggle. Right, because we don't really know what these guys stand for beyond, you know, beyond their own kinds of vaguely formed political ideology.
Yeah,
and it's hard to turn that into a movement because unless you think that way about everything, it's hard to buy in and it's hard to trust them that they will actually represent you and your own sort of ideology. Now, with someone like Corey Bernardi, I mean, he's tapping into a kind of ideology that we can already get our heads around. You know, people who don't like change. And that's, you know, that's worked wonders for the Liberal Party for decades. I mean, John Howard made a you know, almost record-breaking prime ministership out of this.
Yeah.
But that whole ideology is starting to fall apart as well, because, you know, most of us are a bit more comfortable with social progress now. Change doesn't terrify us in the way that it used to for generations. Right. So to the extent that there are these 38% of say, voters who turned out in the same-sex marriage vote or survey, there are still those people. But whether they will actually jump shift from the Liberal Party to a more ideologically pure, you know, Corey Bernardi's Australian Conservatives is yet to be seen, but I wouldn't put any money on it.
Right, there you go. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting couple of weeks or even months to see how this plays out with Corey Bernardi and for Lyle Shelton in his own right, really. Thank you so much, Doctor, for talking to us this morning about this.
No problem. Thanks, James.